As old as the Roman Catholic Church is, and our church is pretty old, today's feast day of the Holy Family is a recent observance. It began in 1921. So here in 2020, we have its 100th observance. So first of all, there's that. And it's a beautiful observance, because just 2 days ago, we heard the Gospel of John from here tell us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This feast day today reminds us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in a family, in a holy family. Not a perfect family, not a successful family, not necessarily even a desirable family, but yet a holy family because of our Lord. Holy. The word means to set aside for God. So the gospel of the presentation we just heard reminds us that God's presence will manifest itself in ordinary families, in ordinary living, common life. God's presence indeed must manifest itself in our everyday relationships. And those relationships that are closest to us and often most difficult for us are the relationships of our families and our co-workers. Remember, Jesus didn't say, love your friend as you love yourself. Who's not going to love a friend? You choose your friends. You don't choose your family or your neighbor. That's why Jesus said, love your neighbor. Jesus is telling us, love those whom you do not choose to have in your life as you love yourself. That's a different homily. I digress. But let's look at our Lord's family and how the Holy Family even redeemed our Lord's family. How the Holy Family brings hope to all of our families. Remember the genealogy of Jesus, how the New Testament begins in Matthew. Those first 17 verses, remember that genealogy? I love it. Such and such is a father, and such is a father. Remember that? This genealogy is our Lord's recorded family history. And when we look at it, we discover that our Lord's family, well, it's kind of like our family, a variety, let's say. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Let's begin with a little bit of that. Tamar is listed in our Lord's family history. Tamar, who's the father, the mother of Perez. Tamar being the mother of Perez sounds just fine. But when you dig a little bit into it and you read Genesis chapter 38, you also discover that Tamar is a sister-in-law to Perez. You can read that whole twisted story in the Bible. Do some of your relatives have strange stories? So do the relatives of our Lord. Do you have a strange story? There's always hope in the Holy Family. What about Rahab, another relative of Jesus? Rahab was a prostitute, a Canaanite prostitute who lived in Jericho, worked in Jericho. According to the Mosaic law, she was not even supposed to exist. So she spent most of her life hiding because she was ashamed of her sin. Do you have relatives that seem to hide from God or are ashamed? So did our Lord. Do you sometimes want to hide? Well, there's always hope in the Holy Family. What about Ruth? Poor Ruth. Remember, the Messiah was supposed to come from the Israelites so that they could rule other nations. Ruth came from another nation. She's a foreigner. She's an outsider. She's a Moabite. This relative of Jesus couldn't even enter the temple to worship. Do you have relatives who are outsiders or maybe disappointments? So did our Lord. Do you feel like the outsider of your family or the black sheep of your family? There's always hope. What about King Joachim? Jehoiakim, whose other name was Eliakim, is known through Jewish literature to have had a habit. Jehoiakim's habit was the habit of murdering men and then violating their wives and then confiscating their property. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, had his hands full with Jehoiakim. You can read all about it in Jeremiah chapter 26. Jehoiakim even criticized another prophet who didn't like him and had him killed. But let's look at those kings who are not named by Matthew in the genealogy. Let's start with Ahaziah. This king, who's the sixth king of Judah, introduced different forms of worship into the Jewish tradition. What about Jehoash? This king introduced the idols of the Asherim to the Jewish people. This was a strange idol. It looked like a totem pole, which worshipped many gods. What about Amaziah? This king, after he killed his father, turned to the idols of the Edomites. And what about Athaliah, a relative? Athaliah introduced Baal into the Jewish people's faith. This was a strange pagan religion that involved the sacrifice of children, the firstborn male by fire. That would have been me. I can go on, but these people left the faith. They not only stopped practicing the Jewish faith, they began to practice some really bad stuff. Do you have relatives who have left the faith? So did our Lord. Have you sometimes lost your faith? There's always hope. I once had a mother say to me in good faith, "Monsignor, I wish my family could be more like the family of Jesus." I'm here to tell you today, our Lord's family is like your family. And that gives us a lot of hope. Not perfect, not necessarily successful, not necessarily desirable, but we can all be holy because of the Holy Family. Saint Pope Paul VI, in today's Office of Readings for the Church, spoke about Nazareth as a great example. The Holy Family as a school, teaching us many lessons. First, the lesson of how the faith is passed in the family, in silence. Then the lesson of family relationships, how we learn to be charitable in our families. He also spoke about how work is important to be taught in the families. But my dear people, the greatest lesson of all on this feast day of the Holy Family is the lesson of hope. Regardless of our history or our family's history, the Holy Family brings us hope. Amen.